Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, so our series, if you haven't been here, is called Kingdom Builder. So everyone say, just say Kingdom Builder as Caleb tries to not kill anyone with the wobbly door. All right, do you want to bring it in just a little bit more so the camera can catch it here? Beautiful. Oh, it's still standing, which is a miracle in itself. All right. So last Sunday, we did a message on hearing God's voice. And did anybody have some experiences this week of hearing God's voice in ways they've never heard it before or more often than they have heard it in a while? Anybody? Awesome. All right. And if you didn't, I would encourage you, that message is on our website on podcasts. So if you go to the homepage, you can click hear past messages, and it's right there. I encourage you to go listen to it just because we talked about 8 different ways, metaphors, coincidences, an audible voice, like Vanessa talked about, dreams, visions, and all of that, of course, always lines up through the Bible, which is, of course, the main way God talks to us, never contradicts the Bible. And then 2 weeks ago, we talked about how we open the door to God's kingdom through our communication. Anyone feel extra convicted in their communication since that message? I know I have, where we can either build God's kingdom or tear it down by the words that we speak. And so I encourage you to keep that in mind. We are a prophetic church, which means we believe in hearing God for other people and ourselves and seeing others as God sees them and speaking that out and affirming people, right? So one of our dreams for this church is to be the most encouraging church in New York State. How does that sound? Right? That doesn't mean we're not ignoring like more serious things. I'm not saying that. But God is a God of encouragement. To give courage means encouragement, right? So today we're going to look at the second half to hearing God's voice, which is obedience, right? So everyone say obedience. Obedience. Now, I have a fun story to tell on this, which is who has a dog? Anybody have a dog? Okay, all right. Who has a cat? Okay, all right, we're about an even church. I just thought I'd do a little statistic there. I wasn't sure. So I used to have a dog named Cinderella. She was part chow, part black lab, which basically meant she was a big dog, but she had this enormous torso that was just huge and these little tiny stick legs. So imagine my arms, but with a really big body, right? And so every time we took her to the vet would be like, your dog has to lose weight. And we would try to have her lose weight, but it was really her rib cage. Like, she just was a big dog, but she was so awkward looking. So anyway, we took her to obedience school. So anybody take a dog to obedience school before? All right, so this was a long time ago. This was like 20 years ago. So my mom took the dog to obedience school at Cornell, and it was near the vet school at Cornell. It probably was like a vet student or something teaching. And it was in this barn, and like all the dogs and their owners, you'd like walk around in a circle on a leash, right? And then you stop and you sit and then you walk. Well, the problem with Cinderella, and we called her Cinda for short, was that she was really naughty. And she was really stubborn. And so the instructor would actually single out my mom. And if you're wondering, my mom said she would never get another dog after Cinda died. The instructor would, multiple times throughout this, I don't know, maybe like a 6-week class, would single out my mom and Cinda. And she would say, now let's see what Cinda does, because we all want to do the exact opposite of what Cinda does. And it was no joke. If, like you said, sit, she would stand or whatever. I mean, Cinda was not an obedient dog. It was very bad. So when I say obedience, that is not what I am talking about, but I just thought I'd give us a little mental image of the opposite of what I'm going to preach today, right? We don't want to be like Cinda. Poor Cinda is still being used as an example to this day of what disobedience is. May she rest in peace, right? All right, so today we're going to talk about how we open the door to God's kingdom, right? This door, which we all know, Brian will not have a part-time job in construction. Nope. Oh, we have a leaning door. We open the door to God's kingdom through obedience. I'm just going to shut this door now. What y'all can't see are the nails sticking out here if you walk by. It's a very dangerous door. But anyway, may the door of our hearts never look like this. Amen. Right? That's a new blessing that we can sing out over each other. But so we open the door to God's kingdom through obedience. And we're going to actually talk, we're going to do a Bible study. So we're going to get into the book of James, and we're going to get into the book of Mark today. So if you want to get your Bibles out. But as we talk about obedience, I just want to put a disclaimer out, which we find in Romans 5:19. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So I want to clarify something here. As we talk about obedience, we are not talking about obedience to be made righteous, because there isn't enough obedience in the entire world to be made righteous. We are made righteous through Jesus, all right? So I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm saying. We are saved by grace through Jesus, not by anything we can do. But that doesn't mean that obedience isn't important, right? So we're gonna get into the book of James here, James chapter 1, 21 through 22. And as I was preparing this message, I kept like bouncing back and forth between a couple things, so we'll see how it kind of comes out. But most of all, I really felt like God wanted to invite us through the message today and during this week to really spend time looking at who he is, looking at his character, because the more you see who God is, the more we have a desire to obey him, right? If you had a strict dad or an abusive father or anything like that, an authority figure that had a negative impact on your life, the word obedience might trigger something in you that isn't positive. But we serve a God who is a good father, right? It says he's slow to anger. He is love. He is patient. He is kind. So I want to put that out there, that as we're talking about the word obedience, if you're feeling like, oh, obedience means I'm going to be condemned or I'm going to be hard disciplined or something like that, I want to invite you to ask God, God, am I believing any lies about who you are? And to let God speak his truth into you and to look in the scripture for his character. Because when we know who he is, obedience isn't a chore. It's a joy. Sometimes it's hard. I'm not saying it's not hard sometimes, but we know who he is. Does that make sense? So James chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. Everyone say planted in you. Which can save you. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, you are deceiving yourself. So that word do means to manufacture or construct, kind of like a builder, right? So God here is saying, do construction with God. Don't just like get instructions from him, but actually put it into practice, put it into your life, manufacture your life with God's word, right? And I said this quote a few months back in another series we did. It's by Frederick Douglass. I prayed for 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. Right? Remember that quote? That quote probably has changed my life when I found it a couple months back. I prayed for 20 years, but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. We're a church that doesn't just believe in getting in God's presence and worshiping, but getting assignments, getting hearing God and obeying him and putting it into action with our legs, right? And that's a little bit what we're going to talk about next Sunday at Testimony Sunday with the mission work. We're going to be building testimonies into our world through our church. So today I want to talk about how to construct your life with the word of God through obedience. So number one, we're going to kind of do a Bible study here, which isn't maybe normally how I preach, but are you all ready to do a Bible study? Okay. So James 1:21, it says, therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you. So number one, get rid of all moral filth and the evil. So I looked up what those words meant, and they mean pollution, malice, and spite, which can mean offense. So he's saying get rid of offense, get rid of intentionally hurting each other. And in order to build the kingdom of God, we need to stop trying to offend each other or holding on to offense. And I asked Brian for a couple tools here. I looked up, how do you demolish a building? Has anyone ever demolished a building? Have you? Okay, so if I, what'd you say? Oh, yeah, we knocked walls down last year, right? That's true. So if I get this wrong, you can correct me because I'm definitely not a construction worker and neither is my husband. But when I looked it up, it said that buildings are demolished from the top down, which I found very interesting because we always preach about a godly foundation, which is very important, right? It's very biblical. But if you're actually demolishing a building, you're demolishing it from the top down. And what is up here, right? Our mind is up here. Our heart is up here, right? And so I wanted to actually talk today for just a second because offense and malice and spite, they live in our heart and they live in our mind. And the enemy knows that if we hold on to those things, it's like we're starting to demolish what God has been building. Does that make sense? And so, if I don't poke my eye out here, what is this called? Anyone know? Thank you. I actually didn't know, so I was trying to figure that out. All right, a crowbar. And obviously, this is a hammer. This is a very baby hammer, but that's okay. So I asked Brian for a tool that would demolish and a tool that would build. And the funny thing is, a lot of times, the same tool that can build can demolish, which is like our words, right? Our words can build or demolish. But if I'm right-handed and I'm trying to demolish something and build at the same time, I'm going to get nowhere, right? And that's what it's like when we hold on to moral filth and evil, when we hold on to spite, when we hold on to offense. It's like we are trying to build God's kingdom with this hand and tear it down with this hand. Does that make sense? And some of us are wondering why we haven't been making, we haven't seen progress in our walk with God, or we haven't seen breakthroughs that we've been praying for. And some of us are still holding on to stuff that is actually tearing down what God is building. God is still building, right? He never stops. It says the increase of his kingdom, there's no end. But if we're holding on to stuff that's tearing down or trying to tear down from the top to the bottom, right, with lies that we're believing or things we're holding on to in our heart, it's like we're tearing down what God is continually building. Does that make sense? So I wanted to give a demonstration here because somebody here might be dealing with that issue, and I want to encourage you that letting go of what you've been holding on to might seem scary, and you might need to take a brave step in God, but God wants to build something in you and through you that you had no idea you were capable of. But if you're holding on to offense, if you're holding on to hurt or brokenness, God, it's like a barrier that God wants to break through. He wants to heal you this morning. Amen? So number two in James chapter 1, get rid of moral filth and evil. And then number two, humbly accept the word planted in you. So I'm talking about the word of God, which we would mainly call the Bible. But it says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. All right. So when I talk about the word of God, we're actually talking about God as well. All right. So I just want to clarify that. But when it says, humbly accept the word planted in you, humbly accept God planted in you, that word implant, planted in you, means inborn, ingrown, and I hope I pronounce this word right, congenital, natural, rooted, or implanted. Congenital means to have a particular trait from birth or be firmly established through a habit. So when you get born again in God from birth, God plants himself in you. God plants his word in you. What does that mean? That means it is easier to live by God's truth than by the lies of the enemy once you're born again. It's in your new nature. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean you can't sin, but it means it becomes a choice more. Does that make sense? So an example that I was going to use was how many have been to Europe or somewhere where they use different outlets? Right? Have you ever gone to a country where, yeah, you've got like, I don't remember all the different ones that I've been to, but you know, got like the two circular prongs. So if you want to like dry your hair or plug your phone in, if you're in a hotel in another country and you go to plug it in with the American plugs, here we go. So if I go to plug it in with the American plug, well, either I would electrocute myself, right? Because they have different voltages, or it just won't go. And I have to go down to the store and I have to buy a little converter that I then plug this into and then plug into the wall, right? Anybody done that before? And it's really annoying because you have to have enough converters so you can plug in everything you need to plug in. So if you have one converter and you need to charge your phone and your computer, you can't do both, right? So you have to buy a converter. Your new nature in Christ, The flesh can't fit into your new nature, right? Offense can't fit into your new nature. God says we are a new creation in Christ. That means that in order for our old to fit into who we are, it's like we got to go out and buy a converter, right? Like unforgiveness is kind of like a converter. Anybody following me? Or holding on to something that we weren't supposed to hold on to is kind of like a converter that connects us back to our flesh or connects us to the sin nature when we are new creations in Christ. Are you guys following me? And so I loved this quote by Bill Johnson. When we go to the Word to dissect it instead of going to the Word for Him to dissect you. Excited to say that again? We often go to the Word to dissect it instead of going to the Word for God to dissect you. So letting God plant His Word in us means realizing that with our new nature, it's actually natural for us to live in God's truth. It doesn't have to be hard work. It can take effort and it can take discipline, but it's in our nature. But it also means that when we go to the Word, we're not just trying to dissect it for head knowledge, but we're letting the Bible dissect you. Have you ever read the scripture and had it read you? Have you ever done that? You open up your Bible and you're in the Psalms or in Corinthians, wherever you are, and suddenly it feels like the Bible's reading your life. You're not just reading it. That's the heart of God for you. That's how we get the Word planted in us. And out there, we have those Bible study handouts. It's an ancient way to study the scripture and hear God's voice. And I encourage you, if you didn't pick up one last Sunday, pick one up because it's a great way to just put it in your Bible. And when you get your Bible out to read it, you can use just a few questions. It's an old monastic way of reading the Bible, and it's amazing to get breakthrough that way, right? So we're going to land here just as we begin to close out in Mark chapter 4, verse 14. So if you got your Bible, you want to open up to that. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path. Where the word is sown, as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once received it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, 60, some 100 times what was sown. So we're going to dissect this for just a second. We welcome God. We let God's word implant in our hearts when we put His word into action, right? Matthew 13, I got confused there. So in Matthew, this is the same parable as in Mark. That's why I got confused. So it's just a different guy writing the same parable here of what Jesus said. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path, right? So when anyone hears God's word, have you ever heard God's word and not understood it, right? But I'm going to give you a definition of understood that might make you better understand what you misunderstood. Does that sound good? Anyone follow me? Just seeing if you're awake. All right. That word understand or understood, it actually means to understand with your five senses, okay? So we're not talking about some kind of head knowledge of understanding the theologically correct interpretation of the Greek root word of whatever it is, right? Even though that's fantastic. We're actually talking about letting God plant who He is, His character, His scripture, His voice in our heart, and then understanding it through living it out. In other words, if we don't apply, if we don't obey what God is saying, if we don't obey what we're reading in the scripture and apply it to our five senses, there's actually a level of understanding that we're going to completely miss. Does that make sense? So what I'm talking about is coming here on a Sunday, hearing a message, and then maybe not even writing down one thing you're going to do differently about your life this week. It's easy to come just kind of listen and then go about your day, right? But Sunday sermons are not motivational speeches, right? They're actually supposed to be applicable to our life from God, a now word that can actually change our marriage, change our finances, change our situations. It may not be a radical change at once. It might be little baby steps of obedience that lead up to a big change that we've been praying for, right? I feel like a lot of times the church celebrates like these huge one-time God encounters. Anyone ever feel that way? I've met people who have gotten free of addiction like that. It was like an angel appeared to them, level of breakthrough. Then I've met other people who got the breakthrough from addiction by going to drug rehab and Jesus holding their hand and walking through the process. One miracle is not better than the other. So I want to encourage you, if you've been praying for something and you've been wondering, God, why am I not seeing the breakthrough? God might be inviting you into baby steps of obedience that are going to open the door to his kingdom in your situation. Does that make sense? We need to celebrate little acts of obedience just as much as the big ones. But number two, we accept God's word when we choose him in hard situations, right? So Mark 4:16, so this is the second seed story in the soil. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who when they hear the word immediately receive it with joy, and then they have no root in themselves but endure for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So have you ever gotten a prophetic word or a promise from God in the scripture, and then your life looks exactly the opposite? Anybody? It's ridiculous, right? You're like, oh, like God's gonna, I don't know, pour out his provision in a miracle, and then like the next morning you wake up and like your car got hit or something. Anybody have that happen? Well, oftentimes we're really surprised, right? We're like, what did I do wrong? We're like, God, are you faithful? Well, it goes right to this parable. It says you can receive a word with joy. You can read a promise of God. You can get a prophetic word with joy. But if you don't let that word grow roots in your heart, if you aren't actually going to God with it, you might miss that there might be a process that that miracle happens in. How many know, again, we don't like to celebrate the process. We like to celebrate the destination. It's like the whole entire humanity is in a car ride with God, and everyone's saying, when do we get there, right? It's not just little kids that say that. So that's important. So number three, we accept God's word when we don't let life choke out God's word, okay? Mark 4:18, and then others are sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Everyone say choke. I say choke. That was very ironic. I need water. Hold on one second. So who watched the 5 o'clock Monday Thrive Live? Anybody? All right, so if you didn't, on last Monday at 5 o'clock, Caleb and I did a hot sauce contest. So we tried to be spiritual and actually talk about last Sunday's message while eating hot sauce. And I will let you know that it was one of the least, I felt, it was one of the least productive lives we've done because I was so distracted by my mouth being lit on fire. I had a really hard time focusing on God, which was a great example of what we were actually trying to portray. I just didn't realize I was going to be the living example of it, right? But it's like when you fill your life with hot sauce, right? When you're filling your life with, and that word cares, right? But the cares of the world, it means to be divided in your mind. It means to be worried, anxious, or distracted. When we fill our lives with that, with distraction, with worry, with anxiety, and when I say anxiety, I mean situation-based anxiety, or we let our mind be divided, it's like we're filling our mouth with hot sauce and then trying to talk. And I can tell you as of last Monday, it does not work, right? And so that's one other soil. But the last soil is we accept the word of God when we hear it and put it into action and produce fruit. That's Mark 4:20. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. So can you stand on your feet with me as we just close out here? So that's what we want to be, right? We want to be good soil. And we're talking about hearing God's voice. And I will admit, last Sunday's message was a lot more exciting. Anyone else get a little more excited about hearing God's voice? Everybody wants to hear maybe what Dad wants to say, but to obey what he's saying is a whole nother matter. And we are a church that doesn't just value hearing God's voice through the Bible or through any of the ways we talked about, but we're a church that values actually obeying it. When there's tribulation, when there's distraction, being good soil for God to actually plant himself in you. Does that make sense? And so I want to just end here with James 1:21 again. It says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Say save. That word save means sozo, to heal, rescue, deliver, make you whole. So when we let God get rid of the distractions, let God get rid of the offense, we become good soil that he can plant himself in. And as he does that, he saves us. I'm not talking about just getting saved from hell, right? That's salvation. But the fullness of salvation means to be delivered. It means to be made whole. It means to be healed and rescued. And I want to speak to us this morning, for those of us, which hopefully, if you're aware of yourself, is probably all of us, at least I know it's me, that need a deeper level of being healed. And we need a deeper level of being saved in God. Not because we aren't saved, but because God is always wanting to do something deeper in us. He's always wanting to open the door wider to building his kingdom in our lives, right? He is a builder of where he reigns. That's the word kingdom, where God reigns. So I want to just pray over us this morning. And I think there might be a lie that it's more exciting to hear from God than to do what he's saying. But I got to tell you, if you've ever actually obeyed God, which I'm sure all of us have here, it's amazing to see what he opens the doors to. Even when you obey him and you don't actually understand why, right? And I know we're all standing for a minute here, but when I was in Israel, I was 18. I just turned 18, and I was supposed to be there like forever. I was going to be a missionary there. And I heard God say to come back right now. And I prayed again, and we had Pastor Tom and Jordy pray, and Pat and Bill Enslow pray, because they all hear God very clearly, and we all prayed, and everyone said, get on a plane, you got to come home right now. So I left all the mission work I was doing, and I came home, and I couldn't figure out why. But the doors that started to open included being in ministry here. And I got to work on a film crew in Canada. And all these doors started opening for me. But if I had stayed in Israel, which made sense logically, I would have missed all these doors that God had. So I want to encourage you this week, obey God when it doesn't make sense, right? If you don't know if you're hearing God, go to the Word, confirm it, right? But obey God when it doesn't make sense. He will open doors that you didn't know could open when we obey him. Amen? All right, so Jesus, I just thank you right now that at the end of the day, the question isn't, are we good enough, or did I become spiritual enough or anything like that? We know we are enough for you. At the end of the day, the question is, did we obey you? Were we good soil for you today? So God, I thank you that this is a week where we get to be good soil and we get to obey your voice. Just say, make me good soil. God, make us good soil. We know the Finger Lakes is known for having good soil for crops. Maybe not near my house, but I know a little bit ways away, they do a lot of vineyard work, and it's known for good soil. So God, we thank you. This is a region of good soil for you to be planted in our midst, in our families, in our finances, in our health, in our workplace, in our schools, in our minds. We say we want to be good soil. We let go of the offense. We let go of any hurt. And it might be a process, but you are right there in the process with us as you open the door to your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll be a witness this week, and I encourage you, grab a Bible study piece of paper out there, get into Mark chapter 4 if you want to study this parable more in your life, maybe with your family or with a friend, and let's be good soil for him. Amen? All right, bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.